And welcome back to WSHIT's continuing coverage of Crabapple High School's drive to the Southwest Regional Soccer Finals. How exciting is this moment? And in an effort to make sure that every Crabapplian can hear and enjoy the excitement along with us, we now offer the broadcast in Espanol on WSHIT2. We'll now tune into that coverage live in the last remaining minutes of this regional championship.
Henry, gol! Gol, 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 gol! Titi! Gol! Gol, 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 gol! Puyol! Gol, 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 gol!
We're gonna allow our reporter Enrique to take a breath, and we'll be back after this commercial break.
On this episode of the commercial break.
Because now she can say things to them that I may or may not be able to respond to, or may not understand.
Right.
Now, just to be clear on where I stand with my Spanish, I took 2 years of Spanish in high school. I then spent a lot of time in Spanish-speaking countries. I have friends who have who speak a lot of Spanish. Their family speaks Spanish. For almost all my adult life, I have been around Spanish. And I've watched television programs in Spanish. So I understand quite a bit of Spanish. Unless they are speaking, unless someone's speaking ultra fast.
Well, right.
Or they're speaking on top of each other, which is every Spanish situation ever.
True.
They always are talking over each other. It's amazing. They'll show someone, like, I was watching the women the other day, right? The qualifying for the U.S. team. And she'll let the rock go.
And in the match USA versus Spain, it's Tagmaster Brian Green, also known as Tag Bagmaster. Here comes Brian to his signature sound. I'm going to get you! Athletes ready! Red says ready!
I'm going to get you!
Look how his competitor crumbles in fear as he knows the pain is coming once he hears,
I'm going to get you!
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
It's another episode of The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is Chrissy Hoadley, and best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? The Commercial Break. The one and only. That's all you need. The Commercial Break. So if you're leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, make sure you're leaving it under The Commercial Break. And alternatively, if you want to leave a message for the other commercial breaks out there, go to their page. Don't leave it on ours. We got yet another comment that's clearly having nothing to do with our podcast. But that's okay. He was talking about like how the stock market goes up or down or something like that. And I'm like, how do we stop this shit? I guess we can. I think we kind of nipped it in the bud for the most part.
Yeah.
But it still remains. And so there you go.
That's another good comment.
Yeah, another good. Yeah. Listen, we got a good review. Yeah, we got 5 stars.
Okay.
So there you go. We got lots of five stars on Apple. We actually have a 5-star review.
Yeah.
And I think that's just wonderful. So thank you very much to everyone who takes the time to do that. Remember that you can get your TCE stickers by leaving reviews and go to the website to figure that out. You'll find out more about that later on in the show. I no longer do the liners in the show, Chrissy, because I realized that we were wasting sometimes 20 to 25 minutes of the show.
I know,
just
I would
me
zone
talking
out.
About it. I know you would. I know you would. And I would just drone on about this and about that
okay,
and about
yeah.
everything. Yeah. If there's something important that you need to know, go there. Whatever he said.
Yeah.
You're like most of the other people in my life. Yeah. I'm with stupid. You're like most of the other people in my life. They just tune out at some point. Probably most of the listeners, too. So thanks for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. And you, if there's anything important that you need to know, you'll hear it right before the commercial break. In the commercial break, oddly enough, there you go.
Yes,
so if you're listening
sense.
Long enough, you know we have commercials and we have a commercial break for it. So Chrissy was just showing me that there was yet another spam phone call where it says potential spam if you have an iPhone and Verizon and stuff like that. Happens
constant.
All fucking day and now at night.
Like who's the spam? One time, sometimes when I try to pick up, there's nobody there.
Every once in a while,
I'm like, well, who is this? Let me just pick it up. Hello?
They're testing your phone number,
and
right?
And it is like, yeah.
I think they test
there.
You. If you answer, then you get put into yet another.
I didn't even realize that.
And it's just a big marketing funnel, right? And they go like this, and they're usually trying to sell. Lots of them call me about my student loans. I don't have any student loans.
Well, and yeah.
Car insurance.
Car repair or stuff like that.
Your warranty is about to expire. Or my favorite, we will send the FBI to your door if you do not call us back by 3 p.m. today. If the FBI doesn't call, they don't knock. They just come in.
No.
Number one.
They're not contacting you.
Listen, I'm not worried about answering my phone if I'm worried about the FBI coming in my door.
Apparently there was a juror scam that was going on because, I think I told you this.
I don't know if
I told the listeners, but I was called, summoned for jury.
Yeah, we did talk about
this
a little bit.
Right before Memfo.
The day before I was supposed to leave for Memfo. Yep.
I was summoned and then selected.
Yes.
And I had to postpone the trip to Memfo because I had to go into court every day. It wasn't even something that great. It was a property dispute.
Yeah, that's it.
That turned out to be a hung jury. We couldn't convince this one woman.
Unbelievable.
To come to
our
side. You
know she was paid off.
I think so.
Yeah, of course.
But, however, Brian, listen to this. As of this past week, I got another summons.
You got another jury summons?
That quick.
Wow.
That quick, uh-uh.
But you just say no.
You have to kind of go through a process of saying no.
Yeah.
But I went to the website and I saw that's where there was the potential jury scam going on. They were alerting people saying,
what's the jury scam?
Well, I guess it was you...
You show up somewhere and they rob you?
No.
Show up at the courthouse and they take your money?
That's actually a good one.
Yeah, that's not a bad one.
Yeah, no, it was that people were being called and they were saying, hey, you've got to show up or we're going to send people out after you pay us some money, I guess, too, or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
Pay us some money because you missed jury duty?
So that was a scam. But however, please. I did get out of this next one.
Okay, good. Yeah. That means that we don't have to worry about our schedule here at TCB.
Exactly.
The schedule never stops here at TCB. hell or high water or salmonella, food poisoning, jury duty, whatever. We keep on trucking here, and I continue to be sick with salmonella, which is just unbelievable on day number whatever. But the good news is that this has left me plenty of time to dig deep into the internet and get lots and lots
Perfect.
Of content for the show.
Yes.
So it's kind of been a blessing in disguise that I've had to slow down a little bit.
I like your silver lining.
Yeah, I like to think of it. Yeah, I also lost 20. I'm going on 15 pounds
there
now.
You go.
So it's just, I can't.
A holiday diet.
I told my one of my business partners, I said, I lost all the weight I was going to gain. So now I'll just be even by the time. I'll be back to fat, kind of, once it goes there. One of the things I have realized.
You look great.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You looked great before, too. So.
Yeah.
I would have said it to you.
You would have said it to me before?
I think so.
You would have said you could stand to lose 5 or 10.
I don't know if I would have. Actually.
No, I don't think you would. We don't have that kind of relationship. We don't,
Who do you have that relationship?
My wife. I mean, that's the only person you really should be asking. Sometimes my brothers give unintended advice, right? They're like, hey, man, did you gain some weight? Like, go fuck yourself.
I mean, I definitely gained weight during the pandemic, but
Jeff still
said I looked beautiful and he loved me the way I was.
I have learned in now my, 29 years of life.
Yeah.
Your weight is going to fluctuate.
That is going to happen.
Just is. You're going to have periods
our
where
changing
you
bodies.
Are changing bodies. And as you get older, it gets harder to lose weight and you put it on quicker. And when you have children, every life change comes with different circumstances and you have to give yourself a break sometimes and just say, well, okay, so you're not in fighting order. You're not in fighting shape, but you're alive and you have your health and, in my
you're
case,
lover,
I have a beautiful
a
wife. I'm a lover,
anyway.
Not a fighter. I don't want to argue with my body. Yeah,
no.
I don't want to have all those arguments and disagreements with my body. I already have
so many issues
around food. I eat so many weird things and I like to eat at odd times and sometimes I don't like people watching me eat. I already have so many odd things about food.
Yeah.
I don't want to add body dysmorphia into it because then I know I'll have a full-blown eating disorder.
Yeah.
Right now, I just think it's hiding under the surface, but then it'll explode someday when I just,
Salmonella.
Yeah, you haven't eaten in 10 days, Brian.
Listen, trust me. I'm not one of those guys who can go through those water diets for 10 days. I have friends who do that. And Raphael does that. And that's fucking unbelievable to me.
Wow.
Yeah, but he's a bear on day number 8. And he'll readily admit this. He's like in the full-blown ass clown at day number 8. He's like, it's like, hey, dude, eat something. Yeah. Eat, chew on something, and then you'll feel better. Your body's not supposed to go 10 days without food. But, you know, he swears by it, and that works for him, and so that's good.
Leaps to their own.
One of the things that I am learning about my young, growing children, I'm not going to talk about in detail because I don't want to send them to therapy when they're older, but I'll say this.
They're going there anyways.
So. Yeah, they're heading there anyways. I'm their father. It's happening. One of the things that I have noticed recently as I've spent a little more time, you know, in the house and on the toilet, is that those kids are starting to speak really good Spanish with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this as an existential threat a little bit, right? Because now she can say things to them that I may or may not be able to respond to or may or may not understand.
Right.
Now, just to be clear on where I stand with my Spanish, I took 2 years of Spanish in high school. I then spent a lot of time in Spanish-speaking countries. I have friends who speak a lot of Spanish. Their family speaks Spanish. For almost all my adult life, I have been around Spanish. And I've watched television programs in Spanish. So I understand quite a bit of Spanish. Unless someone's speaking ultra fast.
Well, right.
Or they're speaking on top of each other, which is every Spanish situation ever. They always are talking over each other. It's amazing.
Yes.
The Venezuelans will have 10 people around a table. And each person will be talking to two different people at the same time, and then multiple people will be having cross conversations, and they are all understanding each other.
Yeah.
It drives me fucking bananas, because as an American, I want you to stop talking when I'm talking so that you can hear what I'm saying.
What?
What? ¿Qué? ¿Qué? ¿Qué dónde? So I have a hard time keeping up with the conversations in the house, because there are so many people talking at one time and they're all talking over each other. And that's just the way they talk. It's just the way they do it. On the television shows, they usually talk, you know, it's hard to do that. So they talk, you know, one at a time.
Do you watch the telenovelas?
I have watched a number of telenovelas. Actually, Astrid and I watched one together in 2018 that I really, really loved.
Yeah.
I loved it. And it was on every fucking night.
Oh, yeah. Soap
and it went on for...
It's Spanish spokes.
Yeah.
Soap opera.
It went on for fucking ever, right? It was like, you know, 300 episodes. And we watched it and we watched every episode together. And I just loved it. Now, we haven't found one that we quite like that much together.
Uh-huh.
But that was... It was... I loved it. I thought it was...
Do they do the same things? Like where it's,
over and over.
You know,
yeah.
Cheating,
dying.
Yeah.
This one was about a ghost. Like it was two people.
Nico?
Nico the
Nico was there?
Yeah, it was about a person, like a famous CEO who died and he came back as a bodyguard, right? Like a bodyguard for the family.
Okay.
For his family, the person who just died. So he came back in this different body, but it was the CEO. So he was like a ghost inhabiting somebody else's body.
Interesting.
And then alternately, this also happened to some other people in the show, right? There was other people who also had this. And it's about how he re-falls in love with the wife that he has, only now he's in a much sexier, younger body.
The security guard body.
It was crazy. And there was, you know, hot girls in small bikinis, the whole nine yards. You get it. Lots of sensuous love scenes. Night after night, it was really the same storyline, night after night. But always you were interested because it was well-acted and everyone was having a good time, right? And Astrid and I were having a good time. So we just continued to watch it night after night after night. I think she was also pregnant during that time, or maybe we had just had the baby. So it was like, you know, we didn't have a lot to do except for watch this thing that came out at 9 o'clock. So I was talking to Astrid and I was saying, you know, I see this as a threat. Like, you know, you're going to be able to speak to our children much more conversationally. What are you saying? You know, and, you know, my son will be like, don't worry about it, Dad. We said this is good cheese on the tamales, right? Astrid said, you need to, I also took 2 years of Spanish with a private tutor when Astrid came here to the United States because I wanted to be able to speak to her family. Yeah. And I can get around. And the more Spanish that's around, like when her family comes and spends time with us, the more I speak, the better I get.
Sure, yeah.
It's a practice. It's a muscle memory, right?
Yeah.
But Astrid said, I've got an idea. Why don't I give you some practice for the commercial break?
Oh,
why don't I give you 5 to 10 words on a piece of paper?
Okay.
And you see if you and Chrissy can figure out what it means based on your limited knowledge of Spanish. Now, remember, I have basic conversational Spanish abilities to speak, and I have probably, I would call it, let's call it intermediate understanding skills.
Working knowledge.
I have a working knowledge. Like if you had a conversation with me.
I took Latin in school. So
Jesus, who the fuck takes Latin? Why would you need Latin ever in any circumstance?
Well, the teacher was very, very interesting.
It was he hot? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay.
And I would say I need to go to the bathroom and he would give me a pass to go to the bathroom and I would be gone for the whole entire period and then come back. And he'd be like, hey, okay.
Hey.
Yeah, so Latin, Mr. Coleman. Mr. Coleman.
I get all Mr. Coleman.
Yeah. So, and I know a little bit of Italian, a little bit of Spanish. So this'll be good.
Okay. You ready? So let's see if we can understand some Spanish.
Okay.
Okay. The first word is L. I'm going to spell it and then we'll try and say it. Right.
All right.
L-A-M-P-I-N-O.
With the squiggly.
Yeah. With the accent all over the N, which is N-Y, right?
Lampiño?
So, Lampiño.
Lampiño.
Lampiño. Right?
Mm-hmm. Does that mean lamp?
I'm assuming that this means either lamp or lighting.
Okay.
Right? Or, alternately, it could mean something completely different.
Yeah,
like, you
it
know,
probably does.
I don't know. Lays with the turkey or something. What is this? That's not Spanish. That's Native American. Lays with turkey. Your name is Lampiño. Lays with turkey. Let's figure out what Lampiño means. Should we do this together?
Yeah. Let me see.
It means hairless. Someone with no
hairless.
Hair or bone. Lampiño.
Lampiño.
Lampiño. In my days where I also learned a lot of Spanish, which was as a restaurateur.
Right.
Because we had a lot of the guys in the back. All of them. Everyone that was cooking your fantastic food spoke Spanish or was from Mexico or a South American country. And it's in some restaurants, even the head chef, right?
Yeah.
And they used to call me pelones, which meant baldy. I think it meant baldy, but then other people have told me that it was much more offensive. Yeah, Lampiño and pelones do not sound anything alike. Okay. I'm going to spell this and then we'll try and figure out how to say it together here on the commercial break. A-P-A-P-A-C-H-A-R. So, apapachar. And I think that means one of those reclining chairs that the dad sits in at Thanksgiving.
The lazy boy.
A papa chair. Either that or that is Spanish for Papa Roach the band. A papa chair.
Or Blink 182.
Blink 182. A papa chair.
I think it means blink.
If you think it means blink, a papa chair. A papa chair. And what I know of Spanish, it's not going to mean blink or sitting chair. It means to cuddle, hug, embrace, or caress.
A papa char,
baby. Yes. I just popped a char right now, if you know what I'm saying. We did not even come close on that one. Okay, all right.
No.
I like this game. Let's go. Okay. E-M-P-A-L-A-G-O-S-O. Empalagoso.
To drive.
I actually know what this means. No, manejar is to drive. Manejar. To drive, to go somewhere driving in a car, right? Is manejar or manejandolo. I think that a papa. Empalagoso. You got to say it with the accent. Empalagoso. If you're going to be Spanish, Empalagoso. You got to. Yeah, they don't say their S's. They say it.
Like Ibiza?
Yeah, Ibiza. Ibiza. We're going to Ibiza.
Rachel, this is for you if you're watching. Ibiza.
Where is Rachel?
Ibiza.
Yeah, Ibiza.
She was just in Costa Rica.
I know. She's that Rachel. She's a wild one. I'll tell you what. Yeah. Who knows what's going on down there?
Yep.
But our good friend Rachel McGrath was posting videos of her down in Costa Rica.
Oh, yeah. They were amazing.
They were wonderful. They were highly entertaining. I love you, Rachel. She had a video.
She rode in like a helicopter whirly thing.
Those two-seater helicopter things? Yeah. She had a dinner that was made by what she was calling a famous Costa Rican chef.
Uh-huh.
The Costa Rican chef was in short shorts, like booty shorts, a tank top to here, was so muscly, had long hair and makeup on, and it was a man. Yeah. And he was like, I'm going to make some food for you.
Nice.
Oh, Rachel. You know, nice. I've got salt and peppers and all the things.
Oh, I bet it was a good dinner.
Oh, my. It was a good video is what it was.
Yes.
I haven't seen that. This is the most entertaining chef I've ever seen in my entire life. He was prancing around, just like throwing salt everywhere.
I love it.
It's perfect for Rachel. It's exactly where I imagine Rachel would eat in Costa Rica. And Palagoso is the name of the chef that Rachel met down in Costa Rica.
That is what it is.
It's in Palagoso. And Palagoso means a hard-headed person. Someone who is stubborn. I'm not saying that's my guess. No, that's my guess. Stubborn
you
person.
Knew what it meant.
Empalagoso, like you're an empalagoso. It means when something is disgustingly sweet. Like
just too sweet.
Like that, like those cakes they make at Publix when they put a ton of fucking frosting on it.
Yeah.
Why do you put so much frosting on my cake?
Or the margaritas at Chili's during happy hour.
Oh,
so sweet.
God, give you heartburn.
Mm-hmm.
Empalagoso. That is impossibly impossibly sweet.
Uh-huh.
Okay, ready? Chimbo. Chimbo. I happen to know what chimbo means.
Well, okay.
But you take a guess.
Let's see. It means when something's too sour.
It could mean when something's too sour. I think this is actually a man bimbo, like a man slut.
Oh, a chimbo.
Like a chimbo, like a fucking chimbo. You know, he's out there cheating. He's a chimbo. A chimbo. He sleeps with everybody. A chimbo. What are we, Italian? By the way, I always call my children bambinos in Spanish, and my in-laws make fun of me because they're like, that's not Spanish. Bambino. Where are you getting that? And I'm like, oh, look at the long bambinos. Okay.
That's a long explanation.
In Venezuela. Lousy, cheap. In Venezuelan, this means a lousy, cheap, or generally bad covers all spectrums up to and including sad, but also boring, so you can use it with low-quality stuff or friends that are too lazy or sometimes something like that. So a chimbo is basically... Oh, it means like a... like I guess it means like it's not good, like it's poor quality.
I was thinking if I could find like a theme here, too, because hairless...
cuddle.
To cuddle or embrace somebody who's disgustingly sweet. That's
and then a chimbo.
And a chimbo.
It's a knockoff.
Cheap.
He's a bootleg.
A man
bimbo. V-A-I-N-A.
Okay.
A vagina. A vagina is a vagina.
That's what I would think, too.
Yeah, it's a vagina, but it's a vagina. And that's how they say it. Like
a food, though.
I think that's how Venezuelans say it in English. The vagina. Look at her vagina.
Could it also mean a hiatal hernia?
It's the most useful and versatile word across the entire Caribbean because vaina can mean anything from objects to situations. It's equivalent to the word things in English.
Mm.
Look at the vaina.
Mm-hmm.
You see that vaina over there? It's
Rapazar vaina.
It's in Palagoso. It's absolutely chimba. A papa chan.
Okay. Vahinya.
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 Yes. Okay. You ready?
Yes.
C-H-E-V-R-E. And this I actually do. Chevre.
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 That means idiot.
It means... That vine is a chavace, chevre, in Palagoso. Now where did my Italian accent come from? It means amazing.
Aww.
It means great. It means everything's wonderful. Chevre, chevre, amazing. So you're like, chevre. You know, when you're in conversation, you go, that's amazing,
yeah.
You know?
Chevre.
You say chevre, chevre.
I'll remember that one.
We have no idea what we're talking about in Spanish.
We don't.
No. So we...
Can I keep these?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'll keep these.
What are you going to keep them for?
Just to quiz myself. Flashcards.
You can use them randomly.
Yeah.
And
wow,
Brian, that's chevre.
I'm gonna throw them out there.
You're gonna use those like I use my Spanish when people are here, and I'm like, bueno, bueno, que dónde? I have a papa char.
Como está
bien? Como está bien? Oh, but you know,
bueno.
I'll come out with bueno, you know, por supuesto. I'll say, of course, you know, por supuesto. Like when people are talk to me, when I was in Spain and people would say they'd say a sentence to me, right? Yeah. They'd be like, say something like, you know, oh, Brian, it's so nice to meet you. You know, how's everything going? It's so amazing that you're here for dinner. And I'd be like, por supuesto, which means of course, which can be used at the end of any sentence. And people would be like, ah, oh, bueno, tu español es mucho claro, mucho bien, gracias. I just fake Spanish basically.
Yes.
But I can understand it. So when people do talk about me behind my back in Spanish, and I don't like it.
They do.
Hey everybody, it's the commercial break inside of the commercial break. Go to tcbpodcast.com. If you'd like to find out more about Chrissy and I, you can read all the show notes, get our sponsors, special URLs and codes. You can listen to all the audio. You can watch all the video, all from our website. And if you'd like to, you can drop us a line at 661-237-8296. That's 661-BEST, the number 2, YO. At The Commercial Break on Instagram, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak is the home of our brand new series, TCB in the Studio. Content you cannot get through the audio version. So please go ahead, jump over there and subscribe. It'd be a great Christmas present to yourself. Get your free TCB collectibles sticker. Series number 2 is out right now by going to the website and click on I Want My Free Sticker. We'll tell you how to get it. You tell us where to send it and we'll have it home for the holidays just in time. We want to thank you for being a listener of The Commercial Break, and we know commercials aren't your favorite thing in the world, but our sponsors are good enough to give you free shit and discounts just by listening to the commercials. So please use the specialized URLs and codes to get your free shit, and then the sponsors keep on coming back, and then we get to do more content, and you get to keep on listening. It's a big lovey-dovey relationship, trust me. Happy holidays to you and yours, and now a word from our sponsors. Hey guys, wanted to let you know that this episode is sponsored in part by Texas Lone Star Tamales at TexasLoneStarTamales.com. This holiday season, we all know we're getting turkey, we all know we're getting gravy, and we know we're getting lots of starchy foods. Bring home the authentic taste of Mexican cuisine to your house this holiday season. Let Texas Lone Star Tamales take care of the food for you. It's easy, fast delivery. We'll have the Texas Lone Star Tamales to your front door in no time, and it's literally a 3-step process to cook those tamales. If you can cook pasta, you can cook these tamales, and they are delicious. The pork is my favorite. We got a big box of beef, chicken, pork, and cheese from Texas Lone Star Tamales. Make it different this year. Get Texas Lone Star Tamales. They'll take care of the food for you. Like I mentioned, fast free delivery to your front door. And as a holiday gift from their family to the TCB family, you can use the code TCB at checkout to receive a free dozen tamales. That'll keep you fed for at least a week. Go to TexasLoneStarTamales.com and use that code TCB for a free dozen tamales. That's TexasLoneStarTamales.com. Use the code TCB. Thanks, Texas Lone Star Tamales. Hey guys, wanted to let you know that this episode is sponsored in part by Playbook. Chrissy and I have broached this subject many times on the commercial break. We agree that some of the worst stress you can feel in your life is financial stress. And if you don't have a handle on where your finances are or a goal for where you're going, it just leads to more financial stress. Playbook is built to help you grow a plan for your money, optimize your taxes, and watch your finances so you don't have to worry so much about money anymore. Playbook is an app that gets to know your unique financial situation and helps you get the most out of every dollar you save. The best part? You don't have to do any crazy budgeting or change your lifestyle at all. As a small business owner, I understand that having your finances in order and having a plan for where you're going is so very important, and it's not something I'm always strong with. So I'm so glad to have the help of Playbook. You've got to try it. It's an app for growing your money, and the average user helps boost their net worth by over $1.3 million. That's right. Playbook is helping the average user boost their net worth by over $1.3 million. I have a phone call to get set up with the good people at Playbook, and I'm so excited that it'll allow me to look at all of my accounts, my goals, and my progress in one place instead of having to go to 10 different financial apps. So to get on the road to financial freedom with me, go to helloplaybook.com/TCB. And with that unique link, helloplaybook.com/TCB, you'll get a free Playbook Impact. It predicts how much net worth you could grow if you start today with helloplaybook.com/TCB. Let's go to financial freedom and beyond. Go to helloplaybook.com/TCB and look out for future updates on my use with Playbook. This episode is sponsored in part by Beachbound.com. Beachbound.com is an online travel agency with expertise in worldwide beach vacations and only beach vacations. They're reinventing beach travel with Beachbound.com. You can book worldwide beach vacations, including flights, hotels, transfers, and excursions, all from one location at Beachbound.com. They are committed to building the best beach experiences that fulfill all of your cravings and curiosities, because to Beachbound.com, the beach isn't just a place, it's a way of life. And man, we couldn't agree more. We've been to this website, hundreds and hundreds of hotels, excursions for every member of the family, your transfers, your cars, everything from one location, beachbound.com. The beach truly is a way of life, and we would choose the beach over any other kind of vacation, and we will use beachbound.com to book our next beach vacation, because that's all they do, and they have expertise in only beaches. Go to beachbound.com and book all of your beach travel from one location, beachbound.com. Thanks, Beachbound. Hey, TCB family members, gotta let you know that this episode is sponsored in part by Quip and GetQuip.com. My dental care is meticulous. I love my dental care routine. I floss and I brush at least twice a day, and GetQuip.com is helping people all around the world do just that. The Quip electric toothbrush is loved by over 7 million people, and there's reasons why. It has a time sonic vibration with 30-second pulses to guide the dentist-recommended 2-minute clean. It's got a lightweight and sleek design for both adults and my kids. It's also got a multi-use travel cover that doubles as a mirror mount for less clutter in your bag. Plus, it's got reusable handles in a range of sleek metal hues, including the all-time bestseller, black and all pink. If you feel like you're on top of your brushing already, you can upgrade with Quip and the new smart motor. You track and improve your brushing with the free Quip app, and you can earn amazing rewards like free refills, products, Target gift cards, and so much more. If you go to getquip.com/TCB right now, you'll get your first refill for free. That's what they're doing for the TCB family. That's your first refill for free at getquip.com/TCB. GetQuip.com/TCB. Quip is the good habits company. So go to getquip.com/TCB to get your free refill when you order with our specialized URL. Come on, guys. Stop with the stanky breath. Get your oral care in order. Never sit in a dentist chair for hours again. GetQuip.com is helping. Thanks, Quip, for being a sponsor of The Commercial Break.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
I was trolling on the internet.
As you do.
As I do. And I was, the other day, I was sitting in the bathroom, one of the many hours I've spent on the toilet for the last however many days. And I came upon the first of the season, getting ready to go into the Winter Olympics, but the first of the season, and the Winter Olympics is next year, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, 2022. Yep. Because 2020, we're supposed to have the Olympics, and we had them in 2021, and now 2022. It's
correct.
Also in China in 2022, I think, also, the Winter Olympics. We had the first of the season qualifying Winter Olympics matches, which was in one of my favorite sports to watch, like all the other stupid sports that we watch in the Winter Olympics. Curling.
Curling.
For those of you that don't know, curling is like golf. Right.
That's an actual job is to do that to in do front this. Of yes. the puck.
They rub this in. It's a stone.
What's a stone?
They're throwing a stone. For those of you that you have to have seen curling, I know you have, because it's the becomes the fascination of every Winter Olympics, because it is like watching fucking golf.
Yeah.
Nothing happens quickly. Nothing really happens, actually.
Right.
It's just, but people get points for doing something, right?
Yeah.
And I love watching golf, so you know I'm into curling. Curling, it can be hours-long matches.
Yeah.
And what it is a flat sheet of ice, and on the end of the sheet of ice, there is a big bullseye on either side of the ice. And there, it's about, I'm going to guess, 25 yards from one end to the other. I don't really know, but don't say 25 yards. And there are these big polished stones that have handles on top of them. They look they look like almost like tires, but they're not tires. They're stones. And they're about...
Like something you put on a steak, the grill.
You take this handle, something you would press a steak into, but it's now glued on top of this very polished stone, this granite. And it's shaped like a donut, right? Or a tire.
It's round.
Yeah. And it weighs, I think it weighs like 25.
Shaped like a donut or a tire. Yeah. What?
It's shaped like a round.
Like, so you're saying it's round.
A round? What's that? It's a thing. You know, it goes circular. Circular sounds interesting.
Shaped like a donut.
Say, can you fix my square tires on the old horse and buggy? Breaks down every time it flips.
Oh my god! It's shaped like a donut or a tire.
I am a master.
I'm gonna remember that.
At describing things so for the round. Podcast. Round, a round. Yes, it's a round. It's a round shaped object.
Yes,
but on the bottom it's flat,
okay.
Right? But it's
okay.
It looks like a donut,
I
right?
Got it.
It's on the bottom. It's flat. Okay, gotcha. And then they stick this handle on top. It's like very heavy. It's 25 or something kilos, and they. They have these special shoes where they slide across the ice for a few feet, and then on their knees, they slide the rock and they let it go ever so slowly, trying to get the rock in a certain position on that bullseye. And then each team takes a turn and they can knock each other's rocks around or whatever. It is the most ridiculous thing on ice. It is, honestly.
And what is the purpose of the person that's coming, and sweeping the ice as the stone comes down?
That's a good question.
Making it smooth.
So the one thing that you'll notice about curling that's probably most people will recognize right away is that there are, as the rock is being let go, one person's throwing it or throwing the stone. As the rock is being let go, for that 75 feet, there are often two people that are in front of it with these brushes.
Yeah,
and the brushes, they rub the brushes really quickly. And by making the ice smooth, they can change the direction and the speed of the rock.
Uh-huh.
So they can either make it smoother or they can make it rougher, depending on what kind of brush they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the person who throws the stone will then direct the two people running in front of the stone, basically sliding in front of the stone with these special shoes that they have on. They're not ice skates. They're like shoes with like smooth surfaces. And what they do is they will brush it in a certain direction to try and get it to land exactly where they want it to land. It's very weird. And it's like one of those sports that you just get entranced by.
You kind of do. I love watching those.
And this is what you'll hear. I was watching the women the other day, right? The qualifying for the U.S. team. And she'll let the rock go. Left, right, left, hold, up, left, 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 left. And she'll scream at these two poor girls who are trying to brush as hard as they can. But they all do it. They all scream at each other so loud. And, and then they score a point and everybody claps. There are whole stadiums that are set up with like 16 of these
ice. Yeah.
Courts or whatever you call
ice
them.
Court.
And then people drink beer and they so many people in the North are really into this. It's a spectator sport.
Yeah.
I thought to myself the other night, Brian, this is the most ridiculous thing you have ever watched on TV and you love it so much. But then it got me thinking, it's actually not the most ridiculous thing I've ever watched on TV.
There's a lot more.
There are so many more stupid sports than curling, and they're professional sports. people making our professional leagues.
I've noticed this, that people have now
made anything a sport.
Anything.
Anything a sport. And there are whole channels dedicated to these weird sports. ESPN now, ESPN, the actual channel ESPN, now has these going on Saturday mornings and Sunday. You know, occasionally they used to throw in like a bowling league on Sunday morning. And you'd be like, oh, interesting. They got bowling on ESPN. Uh-huh. Now they're doing like Flip Club and, you know, hide and go seek and like all this crazy shit. On the count of three, you're going to hide. You're going to try to find each other. The winner gets $50,000 and shall be the hide and seek champion.
Yeah.
So I started thinking, what are the dumbest sports that are currently have professional leagues, like televised professional leagues? The qualification was there has to be an actual sanctioning body, a league, right, that has rules and regulations and all that.
Yep.
It has to be televised or streaming, some kind of live coverage, and it has to have commentators, which I think then elevates it to an actual sport, right? Because if you're just watching two idiots, you know, I don't know, throw darts at each other's head, then that's not a sport. It's just two idiots throwing darts at each other's head.
Yeah, the commentating is key.
They have professional slapping. They have professional slapping. This is a thing. Professional slapping. You never seen this?
No.
Oh my God. We'll do a whole episode on this because this is crazy.
Face slapping?
Yes. These huge men slap each other, open-handed, slap each other. And oftentimes they just knock each other right on the ground. They fucking knock out. But it's a thing and it's a sport and they do it for money. It's crazy, right? Wow. But I wanted to focus on, and there is commentators and money and sanctioning bodies in this slapping sport too. There are rules and regulations. And I don't know how the fuck they get to the bottom of this shit. But when I was a kid, like I'm sure you did with your siblings, we used to make up all kinds of sports. We were doing all kinds of things.
Sure.
Yeah. You would, you know,
entertain yourself.
That's right. We would, you know, take the bike and you had to, you know, throw the ball in the garbage can while you were riding down or, you know, if it was a rainy day, then we'd have some stupid thing. We were playing with a soccer ball in the house. Yeah, like,
jump rope,
you know, if you kick the ball, if the ball
building.
Yeah, that's right. All kind of stupid shit. But these people took this shit and they made it into an actual sport where money is exchanged.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. First, I want to get to one that I thought was really interesting and probably the most boring of the, let's call these, remember we were doing the music
fringe sports?
Remember we were doing Mark Gormley the other day?
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember what the name of the type of music that this guy would be classified as. It's called outsider music. Coming from the outside of the music industry and really from any kind of talent whatsoever. and just making up his own shit.
Right. It's pure.
Let us call these outsider sports. Okay. These outsider sports. Outside of the MLB, the, you know, the ones that we all know. You have to be really weird to get in this category. And so I put four together for today and I put together a little commentary, a little clip of a commentary that goes on. So we might get a little taste of what's happening in these leagues.
Okay.
The oddest one that I found, the one that certainly is the most outsider, is marble racing.
Oh, marbles. Marbles. Like with marbles.
Actual marbles. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know that when in 1930s or, well, you know, 1930s, we used to race marbles all the time. It was like, you know, watching porn. Marbles have been a thing for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
But never has anybody tried to make money off. I mean, you know, I had marbles, but I didn't even know what to do with them when I was a kid.
Yeah, they were in a little bag.
Yeah, they were in a bag. You just held them or you threw them around and thought they were pretty or whatever.
Right.
But in the 30s and 40s and 50s, kids used to play games with them.
Yes.
So this is marble racing. This is an actual race.
Okay.
There is a piece of board that is smoothed out in waves. Okay. So imagine like a table that, but a wavy table has waves. Mm-hmm. The waves are numbered 1 through 10. Each wave is numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The marbles are set up on a little plate up at the top. Imagine it's coming down a little ramp and then it's going over these waves, right? They strategically set their marbles on this board at the top, and then the board is released, and then the marbles roll down the ramp and onto the waves. They're trying to see how far, how many waves they can crest on the on this wood, you know, track.
Yep.
Without going to the very end, which is the pit, and then the marble will fall in the pit.
You can't go in the pit.
If you go in the pit, disqualified.
As far as you can before the pit.
Yeah, go as far as you can before you go to the pit, right? Okay. This is a sport. People get paid to do this, and there are spectators, and there are commentators. In marble racing. Do you want to hear a little bit of marble racing?
Yes, okay. Let's do it.
And we get two in the catch basin, but it's one apiece. And this is actually a closer battle than what we thought.
what exactly did you think about Marvels? That's my question.
Closer than we thought.
Well, the prognosticators had this one all wrong. The red marbles are clearly doing much better than the blue marbles. I thought the red marbles were in ready shape for this competition. But as you can see, I don't know, they had a long night out of the office last night. I think the blue marbles are steroids. They're on steroids. It's a fucking marble. How does it? They're all way the same.
Yeah.
How does one do better than the other? I don't know. I don't understand this.
Momo will move on. The Hole Rollers and the Jungle Jumpers. Ooh, Jungle Jumpers have lost one in the back. Both teams lose one in the catch basin. But look at those two rolling around for the Rollers in the 10 spot.
Come on, really?
He hasn't made it to Joe Buck level. This commentator, not yet.
I think he's interning. He's also the president and CEO of the Professional Marble Association, is my assumption. Uh-huh. And with a name like Jungle Jumpers, we can imagine that the average age of the player here is probably 13 or 47. One of the two.
Right.
It's either the one of the either way, these players are still living in their parents' houses. So I'm just guaranteeing that.
Yep.
Yeah, that four really hurt the Jungle Jumpers. They lose by six in run two of 12. Primary and Balls of Chaos up next.
Balls of Chaos. I can just see some of that.
Wasn't that your nickname in high school?
It was Balls of Chaos. It's my name in this current marriage. Balls of Chaos. Balls of. I can see the guy. Like, remember that guy from. You know the movie, you know,
never fuck with the balls of Jesus or whatever.
What's that movie called? The Big Lebowski.
Oh, yes.
You know, don't fuck with the Jesus,
you know, the Jesus. And he's like rubbing his balls. Yes. I can see the guy who's got this, you know, he's like, don't fuck with the balls of fury or whatever your name is. Watch out for my balls. These guys must take their marbles very seriously.
Mm-hmm. As down they come, the waves too strong for several. This is an interesting strategic event that some of the marbles, they've kind of been scratching their heads on how to approach this. Do you want to sacrifice a back marble in order to give you the necessary push to get farther into the waves?
Oh, so like one marble could push another marble?
It's all happened so fast, I just don't know. It's also
an emerging
boring.
Sport.
Yeah, like if you, there's a tray. That tray has four lines up, four lines across by four lines down.
Yeah.
And there's a hole, you know, a little marble holder. They can place their marbles going one, back and forth one at a time. I guess determined by a coin toss. I have no fucking clue. And they can place them where they want to on that tray.
Yeah.
Then the tray is released and the marbles start to roll.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the only strategy here is where do you place the marble on that tray in order to get the maximum potential roll? And how does one ball fall after the other ball? Mm-hmm. The reality is, this is a complete game of chance. Like, there is no rhyme or reason to how a marble... I mean, there's physics involved.
Yes.
And you might understand physics, but you really have to take this a stretch to call this a sport. I mean, you really do. Exactly what physical exertion is being had here, I don't know. But marble racing is a thing. And a thing that is watched by 20 to 30,000 people every event, Chrissy.
Hmm.
20 or 30,000 people. We can't get 20 or 30,000 people listening to this fucking podcast.
Some teams are opting for that. Others have seen what happens exactly here. That push can sometimes be too strong, and you end up dumping several for zero. Look at that, the hazers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're going to have a sport like marbles, here's my opinion. You should have an announcer like Joe Buck. Because that's the only way you're ever going to make this fucking interesting.
Look at the red one coming down.
Look at the red one's going fast. Going fast, going fast, going fast, going fast. Oh my God. Score!
Yes.
You need to have somebody.
Some excitement.
Or some controversial one, right? I don't know. Looks like an Indian to me. Like, say just like crazy, stupid, you know, grandpa type shit or whatever.
Yeah.
Balls of fury, my ass. I had balls of fury in 21 coming out of now. I was fucking everything that moved.
There's a cream for balls of fury.
Yeah. There's a what?
There's a cream for that.
I got a cream for that, boy. See me afterwards. You don't know how to play marbles. I'll show you how to play marbles.
Three zeros.
They need to cut a finger off if you don't win or something like that.
Yes.
There needs to be like real stakes involved. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Or other people just get to pelt the loser with the marbles.
There's a paintball gun modified for marbles.
Yes.
And you have to take three in the nuts.
Yes.
That is the sport I would watch. Balls of fury. Balls of bruising.
It is not a good way to move along.
Okay, so that's not a good way to move along. All right,
the marbles.
I had to start slow, and I'm gonna work my way up here. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Now, here's one that I didn't even know existed until I started actually looking. When I thought about it, I started coming up with lots of examples of things that I've seen on TV that are considered, they call them sports, or are on sports channels, but clearly, you know, might be hard. This one might actually be considered a sport.
Okay.
Because of the simple fact that there's much pure physicality of this.
Skill.
I don't say enough skill, yeah, but the physicality.
Yeah.
And that is professional tag you're it.
Oh.
And this has been going on. Tag, you're it. Tag.
Professional tag.
Professional tag. Now, let me try and explain, and I'll put it up on youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And we're now going to insert some pictures and videos into our videos on youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. So if we're explaining something and you'd like to see the visual of it, just go and check out the clip, and then you'll be able to see it. There is a, let's call it 40 by 40 ring that is encased in plexiglass.
This isn't in a park somewhere? Like, where
it's in a stadium.
Okay.
It's in an actual stadium. Now, a small stadium, but a stadium, right? And they have put all kinds of what I would call obstacles around inside of this ring. There are bars, there are ladders, there are platforms, there are overs, there are unders, there are all kinds of things in the middle. And the whole goal is to see how long you can stay away from the other person.
That's the classic. That's classic tag,
right? Tag, yeah. So you get placed in one place, and then you say go, and everybody and the one guy who's being chased runs, right? Mm-hmm. He goes through this and up that and down this. It's like pop.
Here, is it two people?
Two people.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
One chasing, one getting chased. One, you know, one. One has the tag and one's giving it to the other person, just like the old days.
Right.
When it was out of sport. Remember it. That's right. So the whole object is to try and evade the other person by jumping all around, right? It's like parkour, professional parkour, but the whole objective is tag.
Okay.
So these guys are really in good shape because they got to do a bunch of jumping around and all over the place. You ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
GNF versus United. Chase one. United evading.
This is it, the final of World Chase Tag. And it is the French versus the Americans. The Americans chasing and chasing well. Seth Rugy hunting down Clément Dumais. Strong start.
Yes, you know, this guy knows
hunting.
How to do it. Yeah. Now, there's clearly a big live audience back there, right?
Yeah.
Cleaver's going to the USA. He's chasing him down. Oh, tag, you're in again. By the way, these matches last less than 10 seconds.
I'm sure.
Because it's a 40 by 40 ring. There's not many places to go. You can't actually hide under something. He's going to get you, right? There's no hiding places. It's just platforms and stuff. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. That's what I tell my children. I'm going to get you. What if I was a professional tagger?
And in the match USA versus Spain, it's Tagmaster Brian Green, also known as Tag Bagmaster. Here comes Brian to his signature sound. I'm going to get you! Athletes ready! Red says ready!
I'm going to get you!
Look how his competitor crumbles in fear as he knows the pain is coming once he hears,
I'm going to get you!
Is there a baton?
No.
It's just a touch?
It's just a touch. It's hand only. Got yeah. You. If it was a baton, he'd just go around whacking each other, breaking arms. Like. What if you had a police scepter or whatever they call those things? Like a blackjack and you were just smacking people in the eye? Oh, he lost an eye, but I'm going to get you!
Strikes fear.
Tag, you're
the heart, of men.
Brian coming, it's striking fear in everyone in the arena. They know it's coming. There it is, the signature. I'm going to get you!
Tag, you're it. Tag, you're it.
And he just won $50,000.
Someone, there's $50,000 at stake here. $50,000 for tag your it.
Wow.
God, I never even liked this game when I was a kid. It was so boring because it was just like we were in a big field and be like, tag your it. Yeah, you run away from each other.
You tag somebody. Yeah, once,
I was more brainy. Like, yeah. I liked, you know, games like, which girl can I kiss today?
Yes.
Chase 2, GNF evading.
Athletes ready.
Tag your it.
I'm
going to get you.
We will have a new name on the trophy. It might well be GNF. Ben Aluafi bouncing off the tilted cue. Chasing Setruji, who goes down, but he was tagged anyway.
Now, these matches last for 3 to 5 seconds.
Yeah, because
it's almost over. It's not the most it's fun to watch them bounce around, but it's not the most interesting sport in the world. It lasts so little time, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of strategy to it except just try and like get away. I mean, it's just
to get you.
Actually, that is the strategy.
To get you.
He's going to get you. Run faster.
Chase 3, United evading 0-0.
Athletes ready.
Davis Vasconcelos goes up to the ridge, looking to descend on Ben Aluafi, who's in the wrong part of the court. There is no escape there, Ben 10. Landed straight on top of him there. Spiked him.
There is no escape anywhere, literally. You're trapped in a glass case.
Wait till someone touches
you. We just realized how stupid this really is. If they put together a whole arena floor of like places to hide and stuff like that.
Right, well, that's what I was saying. Is it like a make-believe forest?
Yeah.
Where you could kind of hide.
Absolutely.
A tree.
Now you're getting it.
A bush. Yeah.
And through the holler, you would hear, "I'm going to get you."
It's like Hunger Games.
Yes, that's right. Remember those guys made a movie about tag? They made the movie here in Atlanta, actually. And John Hamm was in it, and it was called Tag.
Oh,
John Hamm, Jason Statham. I mean, not Jason Statham. Jason Bateman.
Okay.
A bunch of people were in it, right? And it was called Tag, and it was about a group of guys. It's a true story. A group of guys who have a lifelong game of tag going on, and they have done this tag in birthing rooms, like while they've been having children. Like one guy's having a child.
Birthing rooms.
Yeah, in like literally what? While there's a part in the movie that's a true part of the story.
I have not seen this.
One of the wives of the men, as they grow up, right? They've started it when they were 13. Yeah. As they grow up, they have children, they're all these life situations. And one of the men is in the middle of watching his child get born inside of the birthing room.
And somebody tagged him.
And somebody tagged him. Somebody came in and tagged him. It's like just taking it too far.
Burn.
Now, let's go to one that I'm sure that a lot of Americans who of a certain flavor are going to understand what this is, and maybe some other people won't. Cornhole.
Oh, yes. I love cornhole.
I love cornhole, too. As a backyard sport, I think it's really interesting. I think it's fun. The drunker I get, the better I get. It's like pool and darts. The more drunk I get, the better I get. And bowling. Yeah, bowling. True. But cornhole, I never really considered a sport. It was just a thing you did in someone's backyard while you're waiting for the steak to be cooked.
Correct.
Or the cocaine to show up, right? One of the two.
Correct.
So cornhole is an actual sport now. And it is high stakes, big money, sponsors involved. This is what's on ESPN regularly. And Fox Sports South and Fox Sports regularly has this Champions League of cornhole. Who are usually white men. There are men and women's leagues and mixed leagues and stuff like that. But let's say for this particular clip, white men from the ages of 20 to 50 years old in Birkenstocks, shorts. They're wearing Beats headphones. Normally, this is played with a lot of alcohol involved. You got to understand, right?
Yeah, normally.
Yeah, you've seen the Google cornhole. It's a little hard to explain, but there are two boards set up at each end.
Beanbags.
It's beanbags. You throw it into a hole. That's it. You can slide them up the board and throw it in the hole, directly put it in there. There is a huge league that's going on that's got big money involved, and it's being televised right now.
Big money.
No whammies.
Whammy's going to get you.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. We're going to listen to a little cornhole now, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Professional cornhole.
Harbaugh, such a beautiful bag, just spins it in.
Arbaugh's got such a beautiful bag. I like the right one better than the left one. It's hanging a little bit lower.
Give it a spin.
Yeah, give it a spin. Give it a spin and watch it pop. It's a lot of downtime in the
corner. Interesting, too, Trey. When you look at the doubles, it's a change in strategy, too. How do they decide who's going to, like,
How do they decide there's going to be a professional sport? I'm waiting for him to say that. Like, how do they decide to send me here in the middle of Milwaukee on a Tuesday afternoon?
Well, I was going to say, like, where too is these being played? Like, you know, golf is usually around very sunny places. And
so these seem like they're played.
I mean,
in...
if I wanted to raise a professional cornholer, where would I go?
To birth this child. Somewhere in Nashville, Tennessee seems like a great place to start. Or any backyard in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's a southern thing, right? Maybe I don't know. Who knows? I haven't been anywhere else. Cornhole's everywhere, I'm sure. But it seems like a tailgating thing. Like that's where it started. It's just a tailgate game, right?
Yes.
And these guys, they have terms for certain type things. They call one an airmail and a slider and a pitch shot. And they're very technical about all this.
Yeah.
And that's when you know things are getting serious, like you're moving toward a sport, quote unquote, is because they come up with terminology that's all its own and people start taking it way too seriously.
Right.
When I was playing cornhole, you just threw the bag. If you got it in, congratulations, you got a point. That was it.
We didn't
have terms for the way we were throwing. Sidearm, side slide. That's an airmail. That's an airmail.
Devin Harbaugh, Tyler Cobb decide they were going to line up this way and put Harbaugh against Greg Geary, who's been so hot this weekend.
So before every game, there's a coin toss. Whoever wins the coin toss can choose one of two things. You can choose where you and your partner stand, exactly locations, or you can choose who each player is going to play against, and then your opponent goes and stands where they stand, and you follow them accordingly.
Okay, you've already lost me here, bro. I don't give a shit. Yeah, you know what we do? You want to take the right side, I'll take the left side.
Exactly.
Hey, come on, man. You're taking this way too seriously. There is a coin toss, according to rule 7.6.7.
And that's who decides.
That I literally made up on my own.
That's who goes first?
Yes. You decide who goes first, on what side of the board they go, on which side of the board they go. Like, the wind's going to affect it. It's like, it's indoors. Yeah. What are you talking about? There's no, I don't think there's any distinct advantage. It's a cornhole. Yeah.
So, in most cases, when you're playing in doubles play in cornhole, assuming you're not dealing with any type of outside air, but of course the airmail in itself is a lower percentage shot just to hit it.
Cool.
Cool, bro. not sure what you fucking said, man, but yeah, sweet. You mind if I dab?
Can you get the pizza tonight?
Yeah. You mind if I dab? Is that cool? You cool with that? Because, I mean, you know, I don't know if you noticed, but watching those beanbags fly, not really all that interesting. I first watched this beanbag tournament, listened to the beanbag tournament, I should say. I was not watching, but listening to the cornhole tournament when I was driving back from Indiana on Adderall.
Oh, right.
I put the beanbag tournament, I noticed it on at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
It was, and so I put it on. I put the audio on, and I was listening to it, and I'm telling you what, Holy, I was fascinated,
riveting.
But I'm sure it was the drugs talking because it was not riveting.
Good shooting, Jimmy. Stay hot.
Jimmy McGuffin, regarded pretty much as one of the top airmailers in this.
Old McGuffin.
Jimmy McGuffin, we call him Jimmy McLovin. Jimmy McGuffin, we call him Jimmy McMuffin.
Airmailer.
By the way, his nickname should be Jimmy McMuffin because it looks like he had a few of those for breakfast. He's been roundly considered as the best airmailer that has ever lived.
Best in the business.
That's right. Literally, in the 6 months we've been bullshitting about this sport, he's the best.
McMuffin.
Yeah, there's nothing to compare him to, but he's the top of the top.
Right.
Sport. In the history of the sport, really.
What is the history of the sport?
There is none.
Since when have they been keeping track of cornhole?
Yeah, there has none.
There's cornhole tournaments and that's it. Come on, guys. Get it together. Cornhole is not a sport. I'm just saying it's not a sport.
It's a fun hobby pastime.
I agree. And like a lot of other fun hobby pastimes, I'm sure that this will get some traction, but I don't think this will ever be at the level of like the MLB or anything like that. No. Or who knows? Maybe you never know. I don't know.
Do they do professional bocce?
They do professional bocce. Yeah. In Italy, it's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Big deal.
I was on a bocce league for a couple of years.
Me too. I was with you.
You were with me. Were you?
Yeah. I was with you. Well, some nights I was with you.
Yeah.
Other nights I was too hungover or already drunk to show up. But we were in that bocce league.
Yes, we were in the bocce league.
I think
it
depended on whether or not the girl I was kind of dating at the time was in that rotation.
I think so.
If she was, then I usually was not there. And if she was there, then wasn't there, then I was there.
It was fun. And I can see how that would be kind of a precursor to now this cornhole.
This cornhole thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. But I think bocce's much
bocce,
more interesting.
Though. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a hard ball.
It's a hard ball. I'm not sure why else where it's interesting, but it's just more fun to watch. That's my opinion. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
The creme de la creme of silly sports currently being played is one that started during the pandemic. This is the first professional championship or professional games at all of this particular sport. Two brothers, I think they're in Seattle. Two brothers have been playing a game since they were a little kid that a lot of kids with siblings or friends played. When you have a balloon that you blew up, not a helium balloon, but a balloon, mm-hmm. or a helium balloon as it starts to die or whatever, you play a game of keep up. And that means basically is that I will hit it once, I will punch it in the air, and then and you're the next person, now you hit it.
You punch it in the
air. You go back and forth, and the person who lets it drop loses, right? And then if you want to keep score, you keep score. Two brothers were doing this at a whole nother level. They were jumping over couches, they were diving under tables, they were jumping all around. And their videos, TikTok and Instagram videos and YouTube videos, became extremely popular over the pandemic because people found a new game that they could play at home with their kids, or the kids could play or whatever.
Sure. It's cheap and easy.
Cheap and easy. There's nothing to it. Yeah. You get a fucking balloon and you have a living room. If you've got furniture and a balloon, you can get that done. Or if your friends have furniture and you have a balloon costs 7 cents exactly. You know, with some hot air. So some people in Spain took this to a whole nother level. The brothers said,
why not?
This should be a professional sport. Somebody should make this into a professional sport. Mm-hmm. And they did.
They did it.
In Spain. Leave it up to the Spaniards. I like these guys' gumption, right? Leave it up to the Spaniards.
Yeah.
Now, just like we were talking about earlier in Spanish, Chrissy and I have no idea how to speak in Spanish. And this is all in Spanish, but I'm going to do my best to translate as we go along.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yes. España. Turno de España.
Oh, yeah. Tournament of Spain.
Okay. España-Uruguay.
Spain versus Uruguay.
Tío que está venido hasta la madre a verle, la familia. Hoy la han entrevistado en cuatro. Ander Cortés, viene el representante español.
I cannot believe this
still
is
a family.
No. Yeah, he said, I cannot believe this is a sport. I'm actually feeding my family talking about balloons. That's what he said. Now, of course, they got to play each other's national anthem. So he said it's very important to play the national anthem to pretend like this is an actual sport.
Yes.
He said he's very nervous that nobody's buying the pay-per-view. He said something about John Franquesa.
Okay.
He said, next time we're not going to play these songs every time. He said, in the front comes Uruguay. Okay, now what I want you to understand a little bit about this sport. Four walls, some furniture in the middle, one balloon.
It's a recreated living room.
Recreated living room with glass walls, right?
Got
so you can
it.
See in the middle. And there,
I've heard about this.
Yes, and there are three official referees, dressed like referees.
Three.
There are two people in the room wearing helmets, two young, you know, they're younger people, and a bunch of furniture. All the furniture has a sponsor. It's like Mentos or, you know, Volkswagen or whatever, right? They all have sponsors, way sponsored out. And the guys who are doing the announcing, I'm assuming, are the guys who invested in this particular thing. There's like a 25,000 euro prize. It's sure it costs a lot of money to put this television production on. It's pretty well done, right? It's not a YouTube video. It's pretty well done. It's a live event in an actual stadium. It's a tiny little stadium, but it's a stadium indoors. And then they have referees and they have instant replay. Now, I want you to keep this in mind as we move forward.
I'm like picturing somebody.
That's literally what they're doing. They're like diving across and and I forgot to tell you the rules. You have to hit upwards or sideways.
Right.
You cannot hit in any motion downwards. So if at any time the referees think that you're trying to hit it even like at an angle downwards, you get a point taken away. Mm-hmm. The other person gets a point.
El suquito leal.
He just said, this is awful. We should, we shouldn't play these. Yeah. This is the Uruguay.
Qué barbaridad de partido. Estoy nervioso, Alfredo.
Yo también, yo también, yo también. Y luego acabo de ver ahí, acabo de ver el tinte de el uruguayo. Que ha querido esperar.
He said, I'm trying to figure out something to say about Uruguay.
Hasta que viéramos claramente ese pelito rubio platino y negro.
I'm going to get you.
Partidazo en este mundial de globos.
Tintazo gordo.
Las peores rondas para el español van a ser las primeras, ¿eh?
No, no, es que me temo que aquí va a sufrir el español seguro.
He
no
said, at this Uruguay. Moment, all of Spain is wondering why we're doing this.
Totalmente esperando. Estoy nervioso, macho.
He said, I'm so nervous. I spent all my family's money on this.
Con 600,000 personas en directo. Qué tensión, qué nervios.
Okay, there's the whistle.
Partido. Vamos.
De Jan.
Vamos.
They're hitting the ball. I'll put this video on YouTube. There goes the there's the balloon. He hit it. The other guy hit it. The other guy hit it. Everyone's hitting it. That's all you do? We're speaking over each other?
Alfredo, ¿qué te parece?
Okay.
Okay, now. The game is stopped because the referee thinks that it was hit in a downward motion. It looked like it went to the side, but it actually went downwards. Now the whole fucking television program explodes. And I'll explain why. Let's just listen to him in the background. He's saying, no, he hit it under. Like he went up.
Right?
There are six commentators in the booth. Six, right?
Wow.
Ranging from young to old. All of them speaking over each other, so you can't understand a fucking word. Six commentators. Like I said, I think these guys are all investors in this particular sport.
Yeah.
With one main guy who is a rather rotund Spanish man. Now what you're hearing the referee, all three referees have now gone to the instant replay booth to see exactly if it went up or down. But they don't really, this is happening so on the fly that they don't understand exactly how they measure that.
Yeah.
So
you would tell maybe about the angle of the hand.
The angle of the hand, correct. Or the angle of the balloon, right?
Like if it's like that,
or
it's
like that, did you cup your hand? Right.
Yeah. If it's anything other than this.
That's right. So this is so bad, Chrissy.
Up.
Yeah, I know, but you can go sideways too. So it's like you know, yeah.
But it has to be middle.
It has to be
the
middle
slightest or angle.
That's right. That's what they're saying. But this is such a fucking mess that at the end of the day, the referees decide that he hit it sideways, right? They say, we think he hit it sideways, so we're taking no points away. But one of the announcers is called over to make the final decision.
Oh.
Now imagine if in the ninth inning of the world championship,
if three referees can't get it right, call in the announcer.
And a replay guy. So they called in an announcer, like calling in Joe Buck to make the final call and slide at the plate during the World Series. It's absolutely unbelievable. This has got to be the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
It truly is.
But it was so fucking fascinating to watch these kids playing this balloon ball or whatever you call it and having balloon balls. He's got nice sacks. Joe McGuffin. Joe McLovin.
He's regarded as one of the best air mailers.
He's regarded as one of the best sack handlers that ever was. And I'll tell you what, I've seen a few sack handlers in my time. Oh my God. I could go on forever. Sports that aren't quite sports, that should be sports, that aren't sports, that might be sports. There you go. There you have it. There's a general recap. We got four of the 30 that I could think of. There's Chrissy tuning out as I do all the show liners.
I'm dancing.
I know it. I know how she goes. All right. Well, listen. I think we've done enough today. I'm still battling salmonella. Yes. I'm still not feeling 100%. So if I sound a little muddle mouth today, that's why. It's because I don't have any fluids in my body. And I want to thank everybody who took the time to like and comment on our recent videos. Go to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Please check us out and subscribe. We now have actual imagery. So when we're talking about some of these clips, they're actually on the YouTube channel. You can see them right here where I'm putting my hand. You can see them right there. So now you can see what we're talking about if you're interested. YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak, @thecommercialbreak on Instagram. go ahead and send us a text message, 661-BEST-2-YO. We'll get back to you. I promise we'll get back to you eventually. I've been a little under the weather. So if you've texted us in the last couple days, we will get back to you. I promise. And make sure to go get your TCB sticker. I want to thank all my good friends at CastBox, Squatty Potty, all the wonderful people at Fuego Chips, who have sent us a lot of chips, at Moon Cheese, who have sent us Moon Cheese. They're keeping us fed. Well, keeping you fed, at least. I'm just over here losing weight by the minute. And I think that's it. We're going to be back soon with another wonderful edition of The Commercial Break.
Yes, we will. And then we'll have a new season coming up, too.
Season 3. Brand new studio. Brand new content. Brand new attitude. Less listeners. That's how it's going to go.
That's the goal.
More commercials, less listeners. You know how it goes. We're going to... pretty soon, the whole second half of the commercial break is just going to be commercials.
Well...
that might work. You never know. Yeah, people might be into that.
It's in the name.
There's whole YouTube channels that are dedicated to commercials, and they do well, you know?
We're going to need to start opening presents, too.
Opening, like...
like opening presents.
Oh yeah,
to get viewers.
Let's do some unboxing. Yeah, you want to do unboxing? Okay, yeah. We'll do a couple episodes on unboxing. We'll get some boxes that we can unbox.
We'll open our Christmas presents to each other.
That might be a good idea. Yeah. Or let's order some stuff on the internet and let's unbox it here like they do online, and we'll make it fun. Let's unbox a dildo or like some KY jelly or something. Okay, I like that. Yeah. We just came up with some TCB content.
We did.
Look at that
on the fly.
Look at us working 24 hours a day, seven days a week for your pleasure. That's it. That's all I can do today. I love you.
I love. You.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, we always say, and we always mean, bye!
The commercial break. New episodes on Tuesdays and now Fridays. New YouTube clips drop daily at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Visit tcbpodcast.com for access to our entire media library. Follow us at The Commercial Break on Instagram. Each episode is written and produced by Brian Green, co-hosted by Chrissy Hoadley, with additional content provided by Tina Connell.